life. Give us day by day our daily bread. From day to day, take care of us. Give us what we need. Especially the body and blood of Jesus Christ, I add. So to me, that's the spiritual significance of this. It is dual. There's the physical needs. I expect God to take care of my physical needs. But when I pray it, I think not about the food. I want to think about, give me every day my peace of Christ. Give me every day my entering into his rest. Let me partake of him each and every day, day by day. A little bit here, a little bit there, so that I could become more like him, so that I can grow up into him as I need to. And forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. I like the way it's, you know, forgive us as we forgive others. Here it's in a very declarative sense as saying, well, we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. I forgive everyone that is indebted to me. So, Lord, look at what I do and forgive me. Now, a lot of evangelicals would take issue with this statement of the Lord and saying, well, the Apostle Paul said that we should forgive others because for Christ's sake, God has forgiven us. I said, that is true. For Christ's sake, God has forgiven us who believe on him and who continue to believe on him and are in the faith. But I'm telling you, don't let an evil heart of unbelief enter into your heart and think, well, I don't have to forgive. It's not required of me. I don't have to forgive others. God's already forgiven me. And I can exact my debt. Hey, Jesus told a parable about that, about the guy who was forgiven much and then went and tried to collect on a smaller debt that someone else owed him and had that man cast into prison. What the Lord did to him wasn't good. Don't think, Christian, you're going to escape if you do so wickedly. Don't deceive yourself. Don't stand on the pinnacle of the temple and threaten to cast yourself down, because that's what you're doing. God will save me. Watch. I can sin as much as I like. Look it. God won't let me get smushed. You're going to be crushed. You are going to be destroyed. You tempt God like that, you're going to find God does not take that lightly. Say, I don't have to forgive. I'm forgiven, but I don't have to forgive them. Because God, I believe. All I got to do is believe. Say, I got to believe. I don't have to forgive. No, all I got to do is believe. I just got to believe in Jesus. I just got to do this. And then I can just do whatever I want. I can be unforgiving. I can be drunk. I can do this, that. And you know, the funny thing is, a lot of Christians don't struggle with the big carnality. You know, though many do, drunkenness. I mean, this country has a lot of alcohol dependency, and we're almost all of us Christians, right? But, you know, we got alcohol dependency. I used to be dependent on alcohol, drugs, you know, and then there's sex, you know, and those are the yucky sins, you know, the ones people are sort of like ashamed of. And those are the ones you're supposed to stop in most evangelical circles. They want Jesus to deliver you from alcohol, from lust, and from things like that, right? But there are certain sins that are more common among the hypocritical, meaning those who would be Christians, but yet, and not drunk, not having a lot of vice, you know, as we would call it. But at the same time, they have overlooked and failed to pursue perfection. So therefore, they have unforgiveness, they're backstabbers, they are, you know, slanderers, gossiping, and other such like things. You know, they have hatred in their heart. There are other things going on. But, you know, but they don't do any outward carnal vice type sins, so they feel pretty good about themselves, and then they justify themselves. And that is, of course, a very dangerous position to be in. We need to forgive others. It is for us. It is for me to forgive others. Yeah, I want to release them from their debt, but it's for me. It's so I can be free from unforgiveness, because unforgiveness is a terrible bondage. I'm not just speaking in a pragmatic sense. What I'm saying is, it'll tear you down and bring you down to death. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Two of the most important verses in my mind, because temptation, lead us not into temptation. Is God leading us to temptation? Well, God does not tempt us, but he can lead us to a place of temptation. You bet. What do you think the Garden of Eden is? I mean, lead us not into temptation. The very possibility that you would pray that indicates that there's some sort of, God could lead us to temptation, couldn't he? Yes, he could. And he does. He suffers us to be tempted. As it says, he will not suffer us to be tempted beyond that we are able to bear. Apostle Paul said that. But that doesn't mean that you might think you can't bear it. You might say, this is more than I can bear. But then somehow you come through it. It doesn't mean necessarily that you are able to resist. It means you're able to bear. Like temptation comes. And, you know, I think about when I used to drink alcohol. I'd be tempted, I'd drink, and then I'd regret. I'd tempt to drink, regret. Same thing with drugs, same thing. I'd regret, 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 feel terrible, and go out and do the same thing over and over and over again. And the temptation and the sin and the consequences felt unbearable. But I did bear it, and I got through it somehow. But at the time, it really seemed like I couldn't bear it. I mean, what do you think the chastisement comes from? Are we chastised for doing well? If you do well, will you not be approved? No. Chastisement comes from where we need correction. The Lord chastises us when we sin. And sometimes, and God, Christ came to deliver us from sin. So what's the point here? Isn't Christ just going to magically deliver us from sin? In a sense, yes, he is going to magically deliver you from sin. But he will also cause you to go through a process that will create things in you, in the spirit, that will work things in you. I see it as invaluable. I see those years I spent in bondage to alcohol and drugs as they worked patience. They worked patience. And they worked faith. Because then when other sins came along, as I've seen even recently, were things that were trying me and trying me and trying me. But I kept believing that God would deliver me. And then through even the most harrowing experience where I feel like I can't bear it anymore, somehow he brings me through. And I do make it. And then all of a sudden, once that work is complete, I step out on the other side, free from sin, and also built up and so much more. It's one thing to just cast off sin, but it's another thing to be built up in righteousness. Because righteousness is just not just the lack of evil. It is also the presence of other good things. Patience, peace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, all those things, where does that come from? How do you get that? Sometimes it can be through bearing temptations. Let's say instead of going through 10 years of seeking to be delivered from alcohol, the very first time I asked to be delivered from alcohol, I was delivered.